This morning's text is Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 through 16. Again, Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 through 16. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who was responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? And what is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me in the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder before them. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the man greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you indeed for your word this morning. Father, we pray, Lord, at this time that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, that we might be willing to hear what it is that you would have for us through your word. Father, we surrender ourselves to the authority of the scriptures. And Father, we pray, Lord, as you speak, as you direct, Father, that you would empower us to move forth from this place to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. So as some of you know, we began in the book of Jonah last week. And we started off with the first six verses and kind of a quick recap, quick summary of those first six verses was we know several things. Some of those things are God is calling Jonah to a specific task for God. And so we know the one who is calling, and God is calling Jonah to be a messenger, to be a prophet to a nation, a people, not just any people, but a great people. And the people who God is calling Jonah to minister to is the people of Nineveh. And it's quite fascinating because although God is calling Jonah to Nineveh to preach to them, to preach against them because of the wickedness has indeed reached the Lord, Jonah decides, and instead of doing what God has called him to do, he decides to flee the presence of the Lord. And instead of going to Nineveh, he chooses to go to Tarshish. And sort of kind of how we began to talk last week was, one of the things that we kind of begin to see is, although God is calling Jonah, Jonah chooses to flee. And I believe in life, God oftentimes gives us the ability to choose. He gives us choice. And oftentimes, just like Jonah, we find ourselves again at a dock. We find ourselves at a port. And oftentimes, boats are going in different directions. And just like in life, we have the choice to follow God's will, to follow God's plan, to follow God's calling for our life, or we have an option to follow our own will. And in the New Testament, one of the things Jesus said was, even in this most desperate moment in his life, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And so one of the things that we see even through Jesus in his ministry is that the Son of Man, the Son of God, was willing to surrender himself to the Father's will. And unfortunately, at this point in our story, Jonah is not willing to surrender himself, to submit himself fully to that which God is calling him to. And it challenged me to begin to think that even in our own life, how often are we willing to surrender to that which God is calling us to? Because if Jonah accepts the call, then there is life that is spared. If Jonah refuses to accept the call, then there is destruction that will come. And Jonah is so willing to flee the presence of God that these people, these great people, would be destroyed, that he's choosing not to follow God's plan. So I challenge you with a question. What do you do when God calls you to minister, to speak to someone who you don't necessarily like? What do you do? Because Jonah has to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. It would be easy for Jonah to go preach to his people, the chosen people, the people who God had appointed to be a blessing to the ends of the earth. But now Jonah is faced with a decision at this port. Do I follow God's plan or do I follow my own? Oftentimes it's easier to minister, to preach to someone whom we love and whom we care for. But it's very difficult to go and minister to someone who we don't necessarily have aligned beliefs with, who don't necessarily live as we do. And God is calling us, just like he was calling Jonah, to go and do what we might see as the impossible. And maybe our mindset is like Jonah. Lord, why would you have me to go speak to some people who have done so much destruction, who have done so much wrong? Why would God have you to go speak to them? And it's a challenge for Jonah, and I believe it continues to be a challenge for us. For us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever it is that you're calling me to do, let thy will be done. And so Jonah finds himself, and it seems as if Jonah has escaped or Jonah has fled from the presence of God. And it seems as if he has gotten away. He gets inside the boat, he pays his fares, he does everything that he needs to do to flee to Tarshish. But one of the remarkable things is, how can you flee from God's presence when God is everywhere? How can you flee from God's presence when God is all-knowing? How can you flee from God's presence? And Jonah is smart enough. Jonah's wise enough. This is not the first time he's been a prophet. He's already a prophet. God has used Jonah already. And so he's smart enough to know it's impossible to flee from God's presence. But oftentimes I believe even in life, we find ourselves believing that somehow, some way, we can run from God, that we can hide from God, that if we just somehow get in a certain place, a certain position in life, then somehow God won't be able to reach us in those areas. But we see, even in this story with Jonah, that regardless of Jonah's decisions, regardless of decisions Jonah chooses to make, God's will be done. That God is sovereign. That God is capable and able to change and turn a horrible, awful decision into something that is actually good. Because it's through Jonah's decision, it's through Jonah not accepting, not fulfilling God's call upon his life at this moment, that all this calamity is even taking place. Did you notice how much loss has occurred because Jonah refused to say yes? Because Jonah refused to say, Lord, your will be done. And I think oftentimes in life, some problems can be avoided. Some tragedies, some situations can be avoided if we just choose to say yes, if we just choose to be obedient to what God is calling us to. Because Jonah refused to go, did you all notice all the loss that occurred? All of the stress that happened. And I believe that says something about the decisions that we make each and every day. That our decisions can have a lasting impact, not just on ourselves, but on other people. Had he just been obedient and gone, this situation would be different. We probably would have a different story. But because he chose to follow his own plans, to see that his plans were more important than God's plans, destruction has come and a storm has arisen. And it's amazing because if my tendency is if someone is not doing what I want them to do, my tendency is to punish. Anybody else? My tendency is to punish. My tendency is to give the consequences because of their actions. But notice, the storm is not destroying them. The storm is not destroying them. But it's bringing them to this awareness that, wait, something is wrong. Something is off. And the very one who the storm is for is actually in the bottom of the ship sleeping. And eventually, although he's trying to hide, although he's trying to flee from the presence of God, God uses the captain of the ship to go arise Jonah. Reminded me that oftentimes the Lord uses people outside of the church to speak to us. He uses people outside of the church to speak to us, to get our attention. It's not just the people in the church whom God chooses to use, but he has the power, he has the ability to use whomever he chooses to use. And he does whatever needs to be done that he can get our attention. Because truthfully, whose attention is he trying to get? Whose attention is he trying to get? Ultimately, he's trying to get our attention. But he's trying to get Jonah's attention. He's trying to get Jonah to accept, to fulfill the call that God has called him to. And so he sends the storm. He sends the captain. And then eventually, what we're going to realize is God is going to even send a huge fish to hopefully get Jonah's attention. And now the people have aroused Jonah. And now Joseph is up. And he's there. And the sailors realize that it wasn't the cargo on the boat. It wasn't the captain. It wasn't the other sailors on the boat. So wait a minute. Who's responsible for the storm? And so they arouse Jonah, and they find out after casting lots that the person responsible behind the storm was Jonah. And so they interrogate him. They have a few questions. They want to know, tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble on us, and what do you do? Where do you come from, and what is your country, and from what people are you? And if you look at verse 9, Jonah has this opportunity to continue to flee from God or begin to confess what he has done. And as you see, Jonah confesses, he reveals who he is. But the amazing thing is he also reveals who God is. Do you notice the words that Joseph chooses to use? He says, I worship the Lord. Some translation says, I fear the Lord. From your perspective, as you read, as you hear the story, do you think Joseph is truly a worshiper of God? Does it look like Jonah truly fears the Lord? Because if he fears the Lord, then he would be what? Obedient to God's calling. If he fears the Lord, then his actions would be different. And understand this word fear. It's not a fear of dread. It's not a fear of terror. It's not a fear of someone coming down on us to somehow punish us for our sins. This fear is this reverence of God, this awe of God, this worship of who God is. And if Jonah is truly a worshiper of God, and he's truly in love with God as he's declaring, his actions will be different. Same for us. If our actions, if our declaration of God is that we are a worshiper of God, then wouldn't our lifestyle be different? Wouldn't our choices be different? Wouldn't we begin to consider at that port which boat to take and the consequences that would happen if we choose to go the wrong direction? Because if I fear the Lord, if I reverence him, if I worship him, if I honor him, then it seems as if my lifestyle, my choices will change. And notice, God is not condemning Jonah. He's not even condemning the people on the boat who worship other gods. He's using this as a training opportunity, not just a training opportunity, but an opportunity to teach. An opportunity to reveal himself in and through Jonah. Because although Jonah continues to run, God is still so willing to use Jonah. Would you continue to want to use Jonah after he has ran this far? Or would you have destroyed him? One of the things that was revealed to me is that, because I had an issue with this, why does God continue to pursue after Jonah? Why is this desire so strong to use him? And I failed to realize that Jonah was connected to the promise. Jonah was connected to the promise. I didn't realize he was connected to the promise. And you might say, what promise? But he's connected to the promise that God gave through Abraham. That through Abraham, all people, all nations on the earth will be blessed. And if you begin to see God's calling for Jonah, it's that very same blessing. That through Jonah, all people on the earth outside of the chosen people will be blessed. Even the people of Nineveh. Even the wicked people of Nineveh. They're not the chosen people. They're not God's people. But yet, God is so desired to bless outside of the Israelites, outside of God's chosen people, that he desired to use Jonah to bless other nations. But Jonah fails to realize it. And I wonder how often do we fail to realize that which God is trying to do. That God is continuing to fulfill his purpose in and through the church. And we know, if we fast forward, how did God use his son? He used his son to not only just bless the chosen people, but through Jesus, all people on the earth were blessed. Notice, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in hostility with God, Christ died for us. God so loved us that he would be willing to give his son, that he would be willing to send a messenger. Not just any messenger. That we might know the Father's love for us. Have we allowed that to truly sink in? Because if we don't allow that to truly sink in, then the cross really doesn't mean nothing to us. If we don't allow what God has done in and through his son, Jesus Christ, to take root in our life, then what was the point of the cross? That through each and every one of us, God desires to continue to bless not just us, not just we are recipients of God's blessing, but that through us, other people might come to know who God is. And that invitation continues to be extended to us each and every day. That every day we have an opportunity, a wonderful, a glorious opportunity to make God's name known rightly in the earth. That through the decisions we make, how we respond to tragedies, calamities, God's name is made known rightly. If we so choose to follow him. If we so choose to be inclined with what it is that he's calling us to do. So I ask you this morning, are you willing to allow God to be made known rightly through you? Do you truly fear the Lord? Not in terror, not in distress, but do you reverence God? Do you worship God? And if you do, I pray that you allow God's Spirit to work in and through you, that other people might come to know who he is. That when we're faced with a decision again, like Jonah, that we would be willing to allow God's will to be done. And if you look at verse 10, it's amazing because the word of Jonah became a testimony to who God was. And oftentimes, our story, what God has brought us through, what God is desiring to do in through us, would actually bring people to a place of repentance. Would bring people to a place of understanding the one true God. You have a whole entire boat who's worshiping all these other gods. But at the testimony, at the witness of Jonah, all the people on the boat now knows the one true God. And it was through the word of Jonah that they know. And oftentimes, I believe sometimes we shrink back from testifying. We shrink back from declaring who God is. As if God has not brought us out from a situation. As if God has not brought us out of this circumstance or that circumstance. Why not give him praise? Why not declare the goodness of the Lord? Why not let other people know that which you know? You have the good news. You have the good news of Jesus Christ. So why not want to allow the rest of the world to experience that love? Last week I mentioned, although all of us are not called to be a minister, to not called to be a pastor, but I believe each and every one of us are called to minister the word of God. We might not all be called to be the shepherd, but each and every one of us are called to have the heart of the shepherd. We're called to have the heart of the shepherd. And when you think about Jonah, does he have the heart of God? Because here's really is the issue. And here's really what we began to kind of take away from the story. You see God's heart for Jonah and the rest of the world. But what is Jonah's heart like at this moment? His heart is hard. It's stubborn. Can't believe God would be willing to somehow save people such as the people of Nineveh. And when I think about the story, the people on the boat, the people in essence outside of the church, their heart seems to be more in line with God than the people that are in the church. Because the one who's supposed to be representing God, Jonah, is not. But at the hearing of Jonah's testimony, their heart has changed. You see, you begin to see this transformation even in their own hearts. They go from casting lots, they go from casting things off the boat to casting and throwing themselves before the Lord. They go from worshiping all these other gods, worshiping all these other things, to worshiping the one true God. Did you notice? There's a transformation that is taking place in the life of those. And the one who's really supposed to be representing who God is not. That's the tragedy. Because when people walk into these doors, or when people encounter you, are they able to say, because of you, I know who the one true God is. Because of you, I know that Jesus can save. Can they say that? Can they declare who God is through your witness? Only if Jonah would be willing to surrender himself and die to himself, other people might be able to experience true life. It's amazing. His heart is cold. It's hardened. That he would be willing to just save himself, that a whole entire people would perish. Think about your heart this morning. Would you say your heart is inclined to the will of God? That which God is trying to do in and through the world? Or are you bent on trying to accomplish your dreams, your plans? What's more important to you? That you might begin to receive the glory that which is due to God? Or is your desire that everyone on earth would know who God is? If that is the truth, your decisions, your actions will change. Because whether you believe it or not, other people are watching the way you live. How are you living? That other people might come to know who God is. Are you living in such a way that they might see you and have hope? That even in the midst of their situation and circumstance, even in the midst of them crying out and not knowing which way to go, are they able to see you and say, there is one way? That there is a truth. That in and through Jesus Christ, we might begin to experience life. So I pray this morning, I pray that might be your heart this morning. That your heart might be so changed by the moving of God's Spirit that he might begin to transform your heart to not just fear God, to dread him, but to revere him, to honor him, to worship him. Time is of the essence, and the clock is ticking. It's time to make a decision. What are we going to do? The people on the ship, they don't know what to do. They've run out of options. They've exhausted their resources. They try everything they can to and somehow make things right, to no avail. So Jonah, what should we do with you? Because they know now that he has fled from the presence of God. Because somehow, some way, he told them along the way. Did you notice their heart? Jonah declares and he says, throw me in the sea. because I know I'm the reason why this storm has arisen. What was their response? They cried out to God. They cried out to the Lord, whom they did not know. But they cried out to him and said, Lord, let not this man's blood, let not this man's life be on our hands. For we are doing what is pleasing to you. They're not even willing to cast Jonah in the sea. They're willing, in essence, to save Jonah's life, to die, if you will, for the sake of Jonah. Isn't there contrary between their heart and Jonah's heart? Jonah is willing that other people might perish. They're willing to do whatever it takes that he might have life. It's interesting. Who really has the heart of God in this story? And then he goes, and Jonah is cast overboard into the sea. And the sea is calm. The sea is calm. And it seems as if God is pleased. And again, all of this would not have even taken place had Jonah said yes. Had Jonah just accepted what God was calling him to do, all of this would not have even transpired. Again, notice, the decisions you make today will have a lasting impact on your life and the lives of others. So choose this day. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the one true God, the one who is calling you, or are you going to serve yourself? There's a choice. Although God is so willing to work in and through us, he still gives us choices. And I love it that the one who calls us, he doesn't just cause us, but he equips us for the call. Although Nineveh might seem to be mighty in numbers, although it might seem like an impossible task, with God, that task is possible. Simply because if we choose to say yes, we have the assurance that God is going to equip us. Is God calling you in this moment in your life? And what is it that he's calling you to? Last week, someone said to me, Pastor, what is it that God is calling me to? I might not know the answer to that, but I know one thing, and it was taught to me, that the Lord prolongs life for a reason. He prolongs life for a reason. The breath that we have in our lungs is for a reason. And I pray that as you transition, as you leave here today, that every breath, every step that you take will be to give God glory. In the seen in the unseen times, that your life would be such a witness that other people might seriously come to know this hope that we have in Christ. Because I don't know if you've looked around and noticed, But we're living in a trying time. We're living in a hopeless world. And a lot of people are very hopeless, not realizing the hope that is there. And if we, as the church, as the body, would be so willing to just say, Lord, whatever it is that you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Whatever it is that you're doing, Lord, don't do it without me. And I pray after we leave today that the Lord will so begin to bless you and transform your life and transform your heart that you might be inclined to that which he is trying to do in and through the church. What is the Spirit of the Lord saying to the church? Will the church continue to flee? Or will the church accept this divine calling upon his life? One of the things that I'll close with saying is probably two things. One, probably the last verse is verse 16. We see that the man greatly feared the Lord. And out of that fear, out of that reverence, out of that awe of what God and who God was, they offered a sacrifice. And to the Lord, they made vows to him. They accepted the testimony of Jonah. They accepted that God was the one true God. They've accepted that God was the God over the sea and the land. Have you accepted that testimony? The very testimony that Jesus came in the flesh to declare that there is one God who is over the heavens and the earth. Have you accepted that testimony? Do you remember the voice that came from heaven after the baptism of Jesus? When it said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Notice that word, listen. Listen to him. The people on the boat were willing to listen. They were willing to listen to the testimony of Jonah. And they surrendered themselves to the Almighty God. And not only did they give sacrifices, but they made vows to him. I wonder what those vows were. Lord, because you saved me, because you calmed the storm, Lord, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. In the midst of a storm, have you ever prayed that God would calm the storm? And somehow God calmed that storm. And you made vows. You made promises. Some of them we have yet to keep. You made vows, Lord, if you would just calm this storm, I would serve you for the rest of my life. And the Lord is so loving and so patient, and that hoping that someday that vow that you made, whether it was days ago, months ago, years ago, that you would allow him to allow those vows to come to completion. Thank God for his patience. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. And ultimately, thank God for sending his son, Jesus Christ, that all people on the earth might be blessed in and through him. Wow. Lastly, Jesus accepted the call. He accepted what God was sending him to do. And you say, how do you know that Jesus accepted the call? How do you know he accepted the call? Because he was obedient, even to death. That not even Calvary, not even the cross, could stop him from being obedient to what God was calling him to do. Because his heart was aligned with God's heart. He knew what God was calling him to do. He didn't say, like Jonah, no, it's impossible that God would save. Oh, thank God for what he has done and through his son. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He prayed, righteous Father, through the world, though the world do not know you, he says, I know you. Though the rest of the world do not know you, I know you. Then he goes and says, and they know that you have sent me. Jesus' life, Jesus' actions showed whom he was sent by. Jonah's actions really didn't show who he was sent by. But I think where Jonah failed, I think God completed that in and through Jesus Christ. Jonah didn't rightly represent who God was. But in and through Jesus' ministry, he faithfully represented who God was. And I believe that is something God is calling us to do, is to faithfully represent who he is. He's not telling you to be the Savior. There's already one, and there is only one. He's not telling you to be someone Lord and Lord over them and tell them all the things that they're not doing right. But he's saying, would you faithfully declare who I am? That other people might come to know the love I have for them. And he ends this prayer and he says, I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them as well. Such love. That their love might be like our love. Is that your desire this morning? Is that in and through you, other people might experience and know the love of God? And the only way that is possible is that if you choose to say yes. That if you choose to say yes to Lord, I desire that you would use me as you see fit. That when you call me to minister to those whom I don't necessarily care for, I don't necessarily like, Lord, enable me, empower me to do what you're calling me to do. We were enemies with the Lord, and Christ still chose to die for us. And so I leave this morning with one question. Who is your Nineveh? Who is your Nineveh? Who are those people, that person, that you're not willing to allow God to send you to speak to? Who is it that you're refusing to show forth the love of God to? We all, at some point, or even now, have a Nineveh in our life. And if God is so willing to use you to speak to those people or speak to that person, would you be willing to go and accept God's calling for your life? Father in heaven, thank you this day that you were so willing, Lord, to save, that you were so willing to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Father, that you were willing to send your son to show forth your love to us, that your name might be known through all the earth. Father, we pray this morning by the empowerment of your Spirit that as you send, that as you call each and every one of us to that which you're calling us to, that we might be obedient to that call. That, Lord, even though the circumstance might seem to be too big for us, Father, we pray this morning that you would give us the strength, that you would give us the ability to die to ourselves, that other people might know the life that is in you and in you alone. Father, I pray this morning for anyone who's at the port, who's in the face of making a decision to follow your will for their life or to follow their will for your life. I pray that you would empower them. I pray that you would equip them to answer the call, to surrender themselves to what it is that you're doing and trying to do in and through them. Father, thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you all know, every Sunday we have an opportunity to come to the Lord's table. And so I invite you all simply this morning to take the bread and receive the cup as an acknowledgement, as accepting the invitation of saying, Lord, I desire to do your will. Whatever it is that you're calling me to, Lord, I accept that invitation. So if that is your desire, that God might so work through you as he has did his son, I invite you to come and receive the bread and receive the cup. And if that is your desire, will you come?